Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com. Welcome to the podcast of Around the House with Eric G. You're listening to the first hour of the radio show. Thanks for listening. For more information, head to our website, aroundthehouseonline.com. Now, let's get to the show.
When it comes to remodeling and renovating your home, there is no better show on your radio. This is Around the House with Eric G. From your back fence to the sidewalk, Eric will tell you how to keep it all in tip-top shape while helping you save a buck while doing it. If you like DIY projects, it takes a lot of practice to get good at it, and Eric is here to guide the way. All that and more on the fastest 2 hours of home improvement radio. Welcome to Around the House with Eric G.
Welcome to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Happy weekend, man.
Oh, man. It's getting cold, but I'm getting into the holiday spirit. I am too.
Ketch is talking about cold. I think you and I are bringing it on right now. We think we both are going to be... bear with us today. I think we're going to be Halzer Vic show today a little bit because we're fighting that cold that's going around as well, but the show must go on.
Absolutely. That's what we do.
So you can hear our little bag of Halls here.
I've got one in right now, but I'm trying to make sure it doesn't click around so it doesn't pick up.
Exactly. Well, we got a fun show ahead here. So first off, we're going to be talking about, you know, some drywall and because, you know, I'm working on my house right now and that's its own big project as well as I want to talk about some gift ideas because there are some really cool ideas right now that are out that are technology, tools, that kind of stuff that I think are some killer gift ideas for that handy person in your life. Or even if they're not handy, there's some good stuff out there that I think is practical, smart, and kind of fun.
Now, I've got a little bit of a generic question for you once we get to a holiday gift buying as well.
All right. Well, let's talk into that. As well as we're going to be talking with Brilliant as well today. So as part of that, we're going to be talking to the CEO a little bit later here. So we'll dive off into that here. Probably about segment three, I think we'll do something like that. So let's start out. By the way, I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
So let's talk about my house for a minute. I am knee deep in projects right now.
And yeah. You knew coming into December, this was going to be a lot of what you were dealing with.
Here we go. It's like, all right, rocket ship taking off. You know, Julie and I have a big project we're working on right now, and it's coming really well. So we've got some big stuff ahead, and you're going to see a lot of content coming up as well. But the cool part is that right now I'm starting the battle of scraping ceilings of acoustical popcorn ceilings.
Oh, fun.
1977 house, you know the story. You know, they put the acoustical ceiling up there. One, it made it easy for the drywall guys to go through and blast it on and cover up any sins. Two, it made it a quieter home because of the acoustical ceiling. So we all know what popcorn ceiling is. So what's the first thing I did? First thing you should do as well, test it for asbestos. Now here's the thing. If you've got a two-story house or it looks like that you've had some repairs done, first off, do your testing. It's probably $100 or less for you to do it yourself. Or hire in a company to come do it, but knock it out. It's easy. What I like about it is that I went in there, I sprayed it with water. You know, always good to have a respirator on if you can. But spray it with water, get it really wet, and scrape it. I scraped for each sample about a 2x2 area. So 2 inches by 2 inches. If you can get it 3x3, great. Scrape it into a plastic bag. Make sure you get it wet. You don't want any dust particles. So you want this pretty slimy when it goes in there. And then what you want to do is put it in a second bag. So double bag it. And mark where you took the sample from and go over and do it in a couple areas. So if you've got two-story home, I'd do two samples. If you've got two-story home and maybe a room that was repaired or there looks like there was some repair work, take a sample of that repair work. Then run it down to your asbestos testing lab and get your samples back. That way you know what you're dealing with.
How long does it take to get the results back on that?
Depending on what you want to pay. So depending on the lab situation, I could have paid extra for same day results. I was in a house closing, wasn't going to happen. So I just paid the, I think it was $45 for the sample.
You weren't under the gun or anything like that.
Not by any means. If I wanted it later in the day, easily could have. But pretty simple. $45 about a sample, you know, depending on who you talk to, depending on how quick you want it. That was a 3-day turnaround, and they're 7 days a week. So pretty standard for Portland, at least.
Now, just out of curiosity, because you were saying that you should do it, you should test from multiple places. I totally get like a renovation or something like that because it's new and you want to test it. But if the whole house was built in at the same time or around the same time, what's the point of doing from two different areas?
Because many times guys were mixing this stuff with the job site.
Oh, okay.
So you had they would take the sheetrock mud, they'd add some water to it, they'd add some asbestos to it, they'd add the popcorn to it, and maybe Bill was doing it Monday morning on the first floor.
Yeah.
And Jim was doing it on the second floor, and Jim was lazy, and he didn't put any asbestos in it.
He's doing it at the end of the day, trying to get out of there.
Trying to get out of there. Ah, we don't need that stuff. We'll be fine. It'll all look the same. Nobody would care. Save us a little bit of money. Because the asbestos was kind of the good, strong part of it, and the fire retardant part.
Yep.
So that was the more expensive part of that whole mix. So if they got cheap, you might have gotten away with it. I mean, I have samples at home out of magazines that say from the 60s, like Women's Day magazine, that I cut out Armstrong flooring with added asbestos for extra durability.
Because it was
great mineral.
Yeah.
Great product. Dangerous.
Well, a little dangerous for you, but you know.
But you know. So anyway, test to make sure you got that. So if you do have it, that's your own thing. Now, I will say, legally, you can abate this yourself if you're a homeowner.
Okay.
You can go through, do all the right stuff, follow all the procedures, and do it. Would I recommend having a professional come do it? Abso-freaking-lutely. That's your best move, is to have somebody come take care of that for you.
Who does it for a living, who does this every day.
Yep, absolutely. You write the check, it's done, take care of it. Nonetheless, there are plenty of resources, and you can just go to your local, since we're, you know, across the country now, depending on where you are, check with your local and state agencies to find out what the rules are for doing it. Here, you know, in Portland, we can dispose of a couple bags at the Metro hazardous waste site for, I think, $5 a piece. You know, you can take in, I think it's up to 20, 25 pounds. I don't know what the deal is. I have to look it up and get you the exact quote, but you take a look and you can find out what it is. That's a very inexpensive way to get rid of potentially asbestos, you know, waste.
Contaminated stuff. Yeah.
Maybe it's flooring. Maybe it's that. You know, I've got a couple little pieces of flooring in my house. How am I going to get rid of it? Absolutely. Do I know it's asbestos? Am I going to pay to have it tested? No. It's easier for me to take it down there, pay my $5, pretend that it is, treat it like it is, and if it's not, well, guess what? I'm still ahead on the dollar side.
And if you want to, and like you're doing, if you want to get rid of it and you want to be done with it now and you don't want to test it, you can just, I mean, is there typically paperwork that you get that you have to show them, or are they just take it if you say that it is contaminated?
Here's the thing. Every city, every county is different across the country. Here in Portland, we're pretty aggressive compared to most places. If I show up, you know, if I have my dump trailer, it's actually my friend's dump trailer. If I show up with that at the Metro transfer station and I have drywall, if I have vinyl flooring type material, if I have certain insulations like vermiculite, I better have my asbestos survey in my hand saying that that house was tested and it's clean. Otherwise, they're going to turn me back around.
Yeah.
Then I've got a trailer or a truckload full of stuff that I have to pay extra to have somebody like Handyman Bob come out.
Come into it and test it.
But even more importantly, be able to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that that came out of the house.
Oh, because it's not in the house now.
It's in the trailer.
Huh.
So that's where you got to be careful with that. Now, there's certain areas in our listening audience that you can roll in. You could fill it up with all that stuff. Nobody's going to say a word about it.
They'll let you dump it.
Yep. The risk, though, is that those guys running the loaders and everything else out there could be breathing in asbestos all day long.
Yeah.
So now you've got some workplace hazards for those people that are working at the transfer station. So I get what they're trying to do. And that's what you got to be careful with.
Now, and I'm not sure this, I guess, is, yeah, obviously more of a question, but in more rural areas, I figure that they probably don't care as much. But once you get into metro and populated areas, they're going to want that paperwork.
It's that way in Oregon, even though the laws are about the same.
Oh, wow. So the laws are statewide, but it's just kind of whether or not
they're focused on the Portland area. Okay. I'm sure if you roll in eastern Oregon someplace out there in
that's
the rural area.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, they'll just
dump it. Nobody's going to say a thing. They've been hammering on the bigger areas.
I figure that's probably fairly nationwide, really, when it comes to
trends.
Regulations like that.
But like I said, everybody is different. And so that's the tough part with that. So... All right, when we come back, let's talk about actually removing that popcorn now that we kind of followed the legalities. We'll do that just as soon as Around the House returns. Weekend. Thanks for joining us. I want to say thanks to all you people out there listening to the show. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
We've got WCGO in Chicago. We're back on and KBND in Bend, Oregon, and we keep getting bigger. So if you want to make sure that we're in your local area, make sure you send us a message and we'll pass it along to our network. So jump over to Facebook, Around the House with Eric G. You can message us there. And we'll get you connected up with the right people, and maybe you could ask your local radio station if you want to add us to your area.
Yeah, give that program director a call and say, hey, I want Around the House with Eric G.
There we go. That's speaking of that, last week's show, we had a lot of discussions about the fireplace removing topic. And so we had Ed on Facebook come in, and he had some good questions because... He had a brick fireplace with the insert that was gas that had been red tagged for giving off carbon monoxide out the front of the unit inside the house. Bad, 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 yeah, bad, bad, bad.
Something you definitely don't want.
Nobody wants to go in for the big sleep. So
on the holiday. We talked about that.
So it's bad news. So he had that. So my advice to him was to... And this is where you start getting into maybe not the DIY project. I love to do DIY projects.
You'll do it if you can.
Absolutely. I mean, soapbox for a second. I was listening to another radio show host, and I'm not going to call out radio show hosts, and I'm not even going to say who it is. But somebody was telling, I'm just going to say somebody was telling their listening audience not to paint a front door because it's too hard. What? I'm sorry. If this is a DIY show, painting a front door is not that hard.
No.
So, bad advice. Off my soapbox. But seriously, when you're getting into natural gas, you're getting into carbon monoxide, you're getting into masonry, this is where I say call in the experts. Because you can come in there and I'd have a plumber. I said, come in, have a plumber disconnect the gas fireplace unit out of there. Have the electrician, whatever, take out all of those pieces. Because what this was is they had the original brick fireplace, my understanding, and then somebody put the insert into it that you could run the gas. So unconvert it from that.
Back to its original
form. Back to its original wood fireplace, and then have a mason come in that is good with fixing fireplaces and make sure that you can get that repaired up and make that happen. Because what happens is you're going to have a hole probably through the side of that fireplace. I don't want to tell somebody just to put some mortar in there and patch that. I want to have a mason come in and go, oh, I need to take this brick out, replace it. You want that firebox to be back and fireproof again. So just maybe not the best
DIY project
unless you're really good at what you're doing. But be careful with that. But it can be undone and there can be some work to it, you know. But let's get back on our subject here before we run out of time.
Real quick, I want to thank Ed for the message.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Ed. And if you have any questions on this one, make sure you message us right now because we will get back to you every single time. So, All right, well, let's get back to popcorn ceilings. So we already made it legal. We're all good. You know, we've got no asbestos. The rest of it is going to be manual labor.
Elbow grease.
It's elbow grease. You know, on my house, I was lucky it had not been painted. So all I did is, all I've been doing, I say did, it's not done. I put down a blue tarp on the ground, make sure I protect the flooring. Hardwood, whatever. Easier cleanup this way. I take my garden sprayer. Actually, my garden sprayer is a 30-second outdoor cleaner sprayer. Hey, it works. And I put warm water in it, and I mist the whole ceiling. Let it sit for 5 or 10 minutes. I mist it again, so it'll soak in, and I'm scraping it off. Now, if it's got a bunch of coats of paint, somebody didn't do you doing any favors. Now you're going to be scraping it hard off the ceiling.
Yeah, because it's not going to soak in.
No. Now, there is one thing you can do that I've seen mixed results. You can go out to a home center or rental or buy the tool. You can get the drywall sanders. They're like big, 8 or 9 inch sanders with a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
And they're on a pole for doing drywall. I've seen guys put discs on there and grind it off that way. You know, that would work too.
I'm guessing that the vacuum's an important piece.
It is, because you want that dust out of there. That's the nice thing. Make sure you're wearing safety goggles, you know, respirator or a very fine particulate dust mask. Make sure you've got the right one going, because any dust is not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And at least you've had your asbestos testing, so you know what the issues are. But you don't want to be breathing that either way. It's not good for you. So just make sure you do that correctly. And then plan on some patching. You're going to do some patching in there, because most of the time they got a little lazy on that popcorn. So maybe you're going to have a little bit of divots here for where the screws or nails were. Maybe you're going to have a little bit of edges that aren't particularly smooth because they hogged this stuff on there, covered a lot of sins. Well, now you expose them.
Mm-hmm.
So you might have to go back up, do some more stuff, and then you're going to have to seal and paint it. So make sure you put a good sealer up there first for that old drywall, because many times they did not paint that or prime it. They just went right over the drywall mud before and left it. So that's going to, if you go in there and just start painting it, you're going to throw a lot of expensive paint on there. And I don't care. Oh, my paint's already got my primer in it. I don't care. Prime it. I'm going to prime mine first, because otherwise it's just going to soak very expensive paint up. And why waste paint? Especially at $50-$60 a gallon if you're buying the really good stuff.
Definitely not.
Don't go wasting it. So that's the secret to doing the popcorn. And of course, you got to do ladder safety, everything else. I've got high ceilings, so I'm going to be a combination of a very high step ladder and living room. I'll probably go scaffolding.
I was going to say, with vaulted ceilings, I can imagine that can end up being a safety issue as well. Not just with breathing in the dust or anything like that, but actually being up there being safe.
My challenge is going to be actually over the staircase, because my peak of my vault is over the staircase.
Okay.
So I can only get the scaffolding so high on one side.
Oof.
And then, so yeah, I'm gonna probably have to erect the scaffolding up a little bit differently and probably scaffold over the entire top of that. All right, let's get into gift buying. We're gonna come in. Let's go talk about brilliance in home technology and gift buying. We'll do that just after this important message. Can you feel the pain I feel? Can you hear the scream inside? Over the waves, spitting the night. My shadow passing by. Save the bones. You know two things only get better with time. Women and wine.
Hey, this is
Farewell Angelina.
And you're listening to Around the House with Eric G.
Single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Got Aaron Amy from Brilliant.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Hey, man, thanks for coming on the radio with us today. You know, I have this at home, which people are like, what's brilliant? You know, we're going to talk smart home technology right now. And what I love about this is that we've got something that besides my phone to run smart home device in my home, because we're so trained to have an app on our phone. But if I want to control the temperature or if I want to access my Ring doorbell, there's something fastened to the wall that I don't have to have in my hand.
Yeah, that's exactly the way it started for me. I was putting a bunch of smart home gadgets in my house as part of a home renovation project because I'm a nerd. And I found that it was getting really strange to interact with the house to do it through a cell phone, and kind of bad for other members of the household that weren't quite as tech forward, and impossible for house guests and impossible for little children if I had them, because they don't have the right apps or a smartphone at all. And it just seemed unnatural. You want to just be able to interact directly with your home. So putting in the walls made a lot of sense, but I don't think that too many people are going to spring for, you know, $25,000 to $100,000 for a high-end home automation system. So we found a way to do that a lot less expensively, but with a product that's really compelling, and you don't have to be toting your phone around, and your house guests can use it, and your, you know, people in the household who don't necessarily love technology as much can use it.
Exactly. And I'm not a huge fan of the big high-end home automation systems, because it seems like it's outdated as soon as you install it. And doing something that's more cost-effective and flexible, I think, makes a lot smarter of a move for 95% of the public out there.
Yeah, no, we think so too. You know, it's a very modern UI. It's a very modern technology architecture, so you don't need to put a bunch of servers in your closet and so on. It's something you can install yourself using the holes in the wires that are already in the wall. Because what we did is we made it so it replaces a standard light switch, and it controls that light, so you get smart lighting for that circuit. But more importantly, you get a touch screen, and you can access your Sonos, or you can see if someone's at the door, you ring doorbell, the video pops right up. You can control all the different smart home devices you have from it. It's also got built-in Amazon Alexa, so you can just talk to it and have your house respond directly rather than the appliance on the counter somewhere. So we tried to make it as easy to install as possible and as easy to configure as possible and as easy to use as possible.
But the funny part of this is that I love with the Alexa part of it is that we'll be sitting there watching TV kind of winding down at night in the master bedroom where I put this in, and the Alexa commercials will come on and it will try talking to the commercial, which is so hilarious.
There wasn't a case a little while back where there was some dollhouse that had been ordered by a girl, and they played it on a news segment, and like they ended up selling tens of thousands of these dollhouses.
Yeah, I had
got added to everyone's cart.
It got added to everybody's cart. I made somebody mad one time when Dan and I were sitting here talking about it, and I ordered somebody a pizza, and I got a complaint in on the Facebook page that I had ordered a pizza for them when I was talking about it. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Well, the technology's still in its infancy.
It's awesome. But yeah, I mean, I like it because I can control the, my Ecobee thermostat, you know, room to room video conferencing, which to be honest, I haven't played with yet. I think that's cool too, where you can actually, there's a lot of different uses for this product.
Yeah, you can kind of use it as shallowly or as deeply as you want to. So when people first install it, usually they're just unifying all the devices that are in the house and providing like an interface into the wall. But then as you get into it, you realize, wait, there are really only maybe 8 different ways that I use my house. And you turn those into scenes. And, you know, I do almost 100% of all my home control by just, you know, picking scenes out. So, you know, yeah, Making that kind of automation easy was a big chore as well. And some features like the room-to-room intercom, it's really great if you have a big house, maybe multiple stories. If you have a smaller house, it's not necessarily as compelling, although the video camera is still really useful for things like remote video monitoring and so on, which people sometimes use as sort of light duty security stuff, or sometimes use just to see what their cat is up to.
I was going
to
say, it's great for the pets kind of thing, you know? The pets are the pets exactly. that stay in that trouble, you know? That's not a bad thing for that.
You can even remotely admonish them by talking through them.
Hey, I see what you're doing.
You knock it off.
How to confuse your dog.
That's my shoe.
And then some of the other kind of gee whiz fun stuff that I like with it too is you can sit there and load pictures up onto it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You can configure it so, you know, it's on during only certain hours of the day, or it's on only when there's motion nearby. You can have it always off, always on. A lot of flexibility with the screen, but that remote uploading feature is tremendously popular. And it's interesting because in a way that's like the least new thing that we've done. Digital picture frames have been around for a long time.
Yeah.
But somehow when you have them in the wall, it's a really different thing than having them on a dresser top somewhere. And it, interesting factoid, more than 2/3 of the brilliance that have been installed in people's houses, they've uploaded their own custom art onto it, you know, and pictures of the family, pictures of the vacations, pictures of the pets, you know, whatever has kind of personal significance. So it's an enormously popular feature, and it's one that happens in my house. I'm always, you know, being, you know, sort of running across new things that are on the wall unexpectedly. And that's a really popular one with kids too. Kids love to sort of put odd photos up on the up in the house. The parents are like, oh, you know that.
Really? You know mom hates spiders.
Exactly.
That's how the kids rock and roll, you know? That's the beautiful thing with kids. But
yeah, no, that's a really great use case, and for people like you who have the security cameras up, it's really nice to just be able to look at them through the wall. It's also nice to be able to complement them with an indoor camera. A lot of people don't like to put up an indoor camera because, you know, now you've got this sort of surveillance looking thing in a corner, and it's a little bit off-putting to have that in your house. It's kind of obtrusive. But with the Brilliant Control, it's really inconspicuously built into the camera, so it doesn't make you feel like you're being recorded and you're not being recorded. But we also have a privacy shutter, so there's a solid piece of plastic that you can just slide with your finger right across the camera and have complete peace of mind that your indoors is safe, which a typical security camera, you know, A, doesn't have, and B, is put in a place that's inaccessible because you want it as far out of the way as you can. So it's a nice complementary piece to a security system.
And, you know, and that's what's great, is it kind of eliminates any concerns of privacy when you've got on the video side of things right there, because when you slide that across, you're not going to have the kids looking in the bedroom or something like that when maybe they shouldn't.
Yeah, totally. And to be clear, that's also configurable in software, and it's been protected. So you decide which cameras, if any, are accessible.
And I like kind of how install, it goes in so easy. You're always concerned about, okay, how hard is this going to be to put together? But, you know, I did a video on it for Morgan Day Oregon here in Portland, and yeah, 15 minutes, it was done. You know, and I probably spent 10 of that checking that, trying to find the breaker, which breaker that system was on. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah, the install is literally just like installing a light switch. It's the same wires, and it's the hole you've already got there. So we make 4 different versions, because in a home, you know, you want to be able to put it in the places that are best for it. And those places may have a single switch all by themselves, or they may have a row of 2 or 3 or even 4 switches. So we make models to accommodate all of those different spaces. So you need to make sure that you buy the right model. We also, you know, offer 6 different colors if you have a, you know, designer preference for the color scheme. And then the install itself goes just like installing a new light switch or a row of new light switches would go.
That's easy.
So we even you know, made it easier than a lot of smart switches that are out there, in that you can wire up the line and the load any way you want to, and we'll automatically detect, you know, which side is which. And
man, you've made it pretty well foolproof. I love it. Well, Aaron, Amy, thanks for coming in, man. I really appreciate it, and chatting with us here in the studio. And thanks for calling in. We really appreciate it. And I love your brilliant. And that, let's get you back on air again here. We'll talk about it in the springtime again.
Thanks so much for having me on. I'd love to do that. We'll be right back.
I must confess, got myself in a terrible mess. I got a new tattoo, two black eyes. Missing one too, but you should see the other guy. Girl, I must admit, I don't remember much. Someone must have served me a knockout punch.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Wow, we had a great interview there with Brilliant. Here's the thing I like about those switches. We talked about it, of course, but I think it does a lot of answers for you. And for gifts, it's really cool because in my old house, I had it in the master. In the new house, I'm going to have it more towards the entryway. You know why? Because I'll be able to talk to the dogs.
Now, there you go. While you're gone.
When Ryan's looking out the front window, I can look and see where he is. I've got a pretty good view of that. It's going to be my secondary camera inside the house for that. So be kind of a good way to go with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's the fun part with these is that you can put them in certain different locations. I've got another area that's a switch that will get most of the great room downstairs. Great.
Yep.
That'll work great. You know, I can actually access that. That
covers almost half your house right there.
Yeah, the whole lower, I can cover 90% of the lower bottom part of the house. Perfect. And if I do it right, I can even catch some of the backyard through the picture windows. So, you know.
There you go.
You know, it's all covering that way, so it's not a bad way to go. It's not your full security system, but there's a lot of cool things you can do with it. Well, one of the things I wanted to talk about in our gift buying and giving thing is, you know, we're in the middle of the holidays, which is awesome.
Everyone's looking for a good gift for that DIYer in their life.
Yeah, and one of the things we talked about this last week on Facebook was we had a question, I think it was from Kim on there, that was asking about what tool I was talking about last week. And I want to talk a little bit more about that because that ended up being a much bigger discussion on Facebook.
This was the multi-tool, right?
Yeah. So this is, you know, a lot of people just call it the Fine tool because Fine came out with these things decade plus ago, probably well longer than that. Well, the patent ran out. So now everybody has one. Doesn't matter if it's DeWalt or Milwaukee. I have a Milwaukee one, of course.
No way.
Spark still has my Milwaukee one, which he admitted to.
Actually, I did. He wrote on that.
Yeah, he admitted. He's sorry, man. But long story short, I think it was on Around the House Nation that it came up on. But anyway, long story short, that's our Facebook group. That's our closed group. So make sure if you're following us on Facebook, head over to that and ask to be let in the door. And we'll let you into the cool kids club over there. And this is where everybody gets along. And we see a lot of kind of internal conversations. And it's really fun. So there's a lot of good things going on over there. But that multi-tool, and it doesn't matter if you're, I mean, you can spend as cheap as I'm sure a bunch of different companies have them. But I mean, DeWalt's probably $100. I think Home Depot's got the Milwaukee one for $150 on a special buy right now. It's closer to $250 when you get into it. But I'll be honest, let's talk about, I'm going to expose something here just a little bit. We need to be careful with our home center tools a little bit.
Okay.
Home center tools sometimes in certain brands and in certain big box stores, they kind of cheapen the tool out for that.
Even on, say you have a brand that you really like.
And if you have brand X and you go into your tool store or online tool store that sells the regular line brand X, and you go into Home Depot or Lowe's, it's interesting because you can pop some tools apart. And in some brands, you can see some differences between those.
Wow.
So, got to be careful with that.
Yeah, that, I mean, because there's no way for you to know.
There's not.
So would it be safer to buy online instead of maybe going to the big?
I'd go to Acme Tool or one of those guys that really sell a lot of tools. I'd be tempted to go there before a big box store. Sorry, big box stores, but that's just how it is. See that with plumbing fixtures, too.
Yeah, we've talked about this, like faucets and stuff like that. Yeah.
Same kind of thing. So you just got to be careful with that. So when you see those special buys, you might not be getting the full grade tool that's stamped on the outside.
Good to know.
Something to think about. You got to think about that. All of a sudden, they're not going to get you. I mean, most retailers are not going to give you half off without. It's kind of like buying stuff at the factory outlet stores. Some of those factory outlet store things you find in clothes are specifically made for the factory outlet store. It's not like it was like didn't sell in the regular store and they blew it out over there. No, they came up with a cheaper product under the name brand to throw it in there to give you the special deal. They still got to make their margins. It's still a retail place.
That, or I've seen maybe something that's been chipped or somewhat damaged, and sure, they're just going to sell it there. And yeah, they can't sell it on the regular line.
There's a whole store chain to do that. Yeah. They take the do that, but it's not the factory outlet store. So think about those kind of things. Most times that that's the case. Well, you know, Nordstrom Rack is the exception. Most of the time, that is something that's been, you know,
yep,
out there. Let's go to hour number two, just as soon as Around the House returns.
Of Around the House with Eric G. That is the radio show. Now, let's tune into hour number two. But first, let's like, follow, subscribe to any of the podcast formats you're listening to, whether it's SoundCloud or Spotify or iHeartRadio. Any one of those formats sure help us out if you do that, and it'll help us spread the word of Around the House. Thanks for listening. Let's hit hour number two.
Hey, it's Eric G from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out Millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's Millboard.com.